You're listening to Westside Church. For more information, visit us at westsideinfo.com.
And so this morning I want to talk about three kinds of gifts that we see God giving us in the Bible. And then I'm going to key in on the gifts of the Spirit. Number three, this is our series, and the Holy Spirit is our helper, that he gives us good gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you turn in your Bibles there, starting in verse 4, Paul says to the church at Corinth, "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge." Now that utterance is a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge, or the Greek word there is the logos, a logos of wisdom, a logos of knowledge, according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit, and to another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles, and to another, prophecy, and to another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues, and to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each individually as he wills. And so these are the instructions that Paul's giving to the church at Corinth. And so we want to take a look at these. We want to look at gifts in general. All gifts, A, are given by God. Every good gift comes from above, James tells us. Every good gift, every ability that you have, every insight, every bit of wisdom, every bit of experience, your family heritage, your finances, everything is given by God. All good gifts, everything is given for God. If we're talented, it's because he gave us that gift. If we're sharp in our ability, it's because we've allowed him to work that gift and hone that gift in us. We've got a lot of musicians up here that are talented because they've taken the gift that God gave them and they've sharpened it. And there's gifts out here that God has given you that some of you need to get those gifts out and sharpen those up as God gives you those gifts. We want to be faithful. B, gifts are given by God for us to serve others. The reason we have gifts is not for ourselves or to just enjoy the things for ourselves or to have personal benefit in these gifts. God gives us the gift. We remember that. And we're given the gift to serve others. And number three, serve the gift so that he gets the glory. This morning I want to talk about three kinds of gifts. Number one, charisma gifts. Those are often called grace gifts. Number two, I want to talk about doma gifts. Those are people gifts. Those are gifts to the church. And number three, I want to talk about phanerosis gifts. That's a Greek word meaning manifestations of the Spirit. And there's three types of giftings there. And I want to give you an overview of those today. And then we'll start keying in a bit on the gifts of the Spirit. And next week, we're going to continue with the baptism of the Holy Spirit and get into it a little deeper. So I encourage you, if you've been part of the series, please come back next week and hear that, because that will be sort of a finality of everything, but a good conclusion to this series. So first of all, we have charisma gifts. Now, you've heard the word charisma. That person has charisma. Or that person is very charismatic. That means there's something about them that attracts us to them. And if you look at leadership in the world today, we say a leader has to be good looking. Abraham would never get elected today. That's just the way it is. The leadership qualities in this world are you got to be good looking and charismatic and have money and have education, all those things. God doesn't look at us that way. He doesn't look at us that way. He wants to find vessels that he can use, yeah. Willing vessels that are willing to use the gifts that he gave them to use them. But charisma gifts are referred to as grace gifting. That means the person has the grace to do that. And grace flows from them when they do that. It's your temperament. It's your personality. It's the gifts that you have, that maybe your family and the gene pool that you were birthed in. There's an artistic gift or an administrative gift or an athletic gift, whatever it is. It's the way God bent you from the very beginning. You're off in a direction. And then also grace gifts or the charisma gifts are things that God adds to you, things that you learn, things that you, that was in infancy a gifting there, and you've studied and you've honed that skill to be used. And also grace giftings are gifts when the elders, Paul talks about Timothy stirring up the gift when the elders laid hands on you. That's the charisma gifts too. That's who you are. That's your package of giftings. Gifts that were given to you in that respect. The charisma gifts are listed in Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. Paul talks about that we're all parts of the body. He said to some, according to the grace given to you. That's the charisma. That's the gifts, according to the grace given to you. Whether it be prophesying or teaching or giving or mercy or serving or exhortation or encouragement or leadership. Those things are who you are. You can't help but be those things. That's just the cloth that you're cut from. Also referred to charisma gifts in other parts of the New Testament around the Bible are hospitality, the gift of speaking, the gift of helps or administration, the gift of celibacy, the gift of creative skills and creative arts. Those are things that God has graced you with. Those are the charisma gifts. You cannot not be those things. That's who you are. One of my giftings is teaching. And so it doesn't matter if I'm taking eighth graders to Washington, D.C., or teaching a Bible study, or leading in the church, or just answering a question of my wife's. She says, don't teach me. Just tell me yes or no. You know, don't go into the long answer. Like, I cannot help but do those things and explain those things sometimes. So if you're ever around me and I start doing that, just go, oh, I got it. Just, you know, get to the short answer. That kind of thing. You cannot help. If you're a prophecy type person in Romans 12, that is a truth teller. You're a truth teller. Every one of you knows somebody who is a truth teller. Somebody who cannot help but tell the truth. And they'll tell it straight to your face. And you go, whoa, okay, like that. And we need those people around us. We also need the nice, soft, gray people once in a while. All right? It can't always be black and white. Because if that's the cloth, you see the world as black and white. There's no middle ground. There's no shades of gray. You're prophetic in your personality, in your temperament. That's how God made you. And we need you, and we need the people that are everywhere in between, you know, on both sides. Peter says to us, he says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, he says that God has given each of you a gift. This is the charisma from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. That is an ongoing thing. So who has charisma gifts? Everybody has them. All of you have them. You all have grace giftings, and they're all different. They're all unique, the way they're put together in your life. And how do we recognize them? Well, when you do something, do you get grumpy or do you get energized? If you have to do something like this, I hate doing this. All right, you're probably not graced to do that. Like, you don't have the grace to do that. That's where that comes from. But take our musicians up here, for example. A lot of times I know they're dead tired, and they come every Wednesday night. They come and serve on Thursday night and two services on Sunday morning. This is third service, by the way. First service is Thursday night, and then second service is this morning at 8:30, and then this is the third service at 10:30. But these musicians, sometimes they say, you know, just take a break, and they go, you don't know, this is where we come alive. This is where we get energized. They have the grace to do it, whereas as me, it would drain me. And so to speak. And so we all know those things. Some people have the gift to speak, and other people go, nah, I would die speaking. And that it depends what your grace is. That's your charisma gift. So use them well. The Bible says faithfully administer them. And don't neglect them. Paul said to Timothy, do not neglect the spiritual gift you received through the prophecy spoken over to you when the elders of the church laid hands on you. Fan them into flame. Stir them up. Stoke the fire, Paul says. The gift that you have, stir it up. Some of you have a gift of hospitality, and you haven't had anybody in your home in 10 years. Stir up that gift of hospitality. Stir up that gift of songwriting that's in some of you. Stir up the gift of athleticism. If God's given you an athletic body, stir that up and use it to glorify God. Chariots of Fire, I love that phrase. When Eric Liddell, he says, when I run, I feel his pleasure. You know, just giving God glory for every good thing. Number two type of gift is doma gift. Now, these are people gifts. And we find these in Ephesians chapter 4. Verses 12 and 13, and 11, 12, and 13, and it says he gave some, not all, some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And it says their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work, to build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son, that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. So these gifts are still valid today because we all haven't come to fullness of maturity. Now these gifts, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, often referred to as the fivefold ministry, these are people gifts to the church. Generally, not always, but generally, the pastor and teacher gift are local church giftings. And the evangelist, prophet, and apostle gifts are translocal, or apart from the local, where they work through and minister into the local church and then move on to another local church. For example, an evangelist, an Ephesians 4 evangelist. This is often referred to as the ascension gifts because Jesus gave these gifts when he ascended to the church. And so, say an evangelist, a true Ephesians 4 evangelist, when they come into the local church, they make a deposit, and then when they leave, evangelism is working in everybody. It's not just somebody who loves the Lord and tells people about Jesus. Oh, they're an evangelist. No, a true ascension gift, Ephesians 4 evangelist gift, comes into the local church, equips the saints for the work of service. That's their job. These doma giftings is to equip the saints. That's all of us, all believers. For the works of service. And so an evangelist comes in, he does teaching, does a seminar, does a weekend, makes a deposit when he leaves. All of us want to go tell our friends about Jesus. That's a true Ephesians 4 doma gifting to the church. All right? The purpose is to equip God's people for works of service. They were given when Jesus ascended. That's in Ephesians 4:8. They're called ascension gifts. How long will they be valid? Until we all reach maturity. Number three, we have the phanerosis gifts. These are the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. These are sort of drops of grace at the Holy Spirit's pleasure. And phanerosis is defined as an exhibition, an expression, a bestowment, or a manifestation. And these are listed in 1 Corinthians 12. We just read that passage. But they're listed here, and these are the gifts of the Spirit. These are gifts of the Spirit. A word of wisdom, a word of knowledge. Now, a word of wisdom is where you have divine wisdom that you wouldn't normally have. The Holy Spirit gave that to you, and you spoke that out. That's a word of wisdom. Or a word of knowledge. That means you know something that you wouldn't have known unless the Holy Spirit told you. Parents, pray, ask God for words of knowledge about your kids. You'll know exactly what they're doing, because the Holy Spirit will show you. I'm not kidding. You can depend upon the Holy Spirit to help you in these areas. And it can also be something like you see somebody on the street. You see an old friend. And you're talking. You're in the grocery store, on the street, or on the phone. And the Holy Spirit drops this in your heart and says, this person that you're talking to just lost a friend to cancer. And they need your support and love. And so you say to them, did you just lose a friend to cancer? And boo, they start crying. And you say, I just want to pray for you and love on you for a while. That is a word of knowledge. You wouldn't have known that unless the Holy Spirit told you. That's what a word of knowledge is. A word of knowledge might be in a service like this where somebody comes to the front and God says, there's somebody with a pain over here. And if you come forward right now, God wants to heal you, to demonstrate to endorse what he's doing, his presence here. And then somebody comes up, boom, they get healed. We've seen that happen in here. And then you have a gift of faith or a manifestation. It's a gift of the Spirit, a faith. That's a supernatural believing God for something. The faith rises up and you know that, and God gives you that ability to believe God for something that would otherwise be impossible. Or healing, the supernatural gift of healing. And now, I've prayed for people and they've gotten healed. And I've prayed for people and they've gotten worse. It has nothing to do with me. It has to do with the Holy Spirit. A few years ago, in Germany, in East Germany, right after the Iron Curtain fell, and my friend Russ Doty, who was here a couple weeks ago, we were over in East Germany, we were ministering in a church, and they had about 40 or 50 people that they all wanted a word, you know? And so, because Russ and I were, you know, from another country, we spoke another language, it was all through interpretation, and so we're praying for person after person. This lady comes up, and I just see a picture of her holding a baby, and I felt that she didn't think she was a good mother, and so I said, God wants to tell you that you're a good mother. She just starts crying and crying. And so then they whisper back and forth. I finally understand in German, she cannot have children. And I go, oh, well, that's what I saw. And so I prayed and asked God to bless her. So Terry was with me when we went back a year later to the same church. A lady comes up to me. I didn't even remember her, what she looked like, really. She came up to me with a little three-month-old baby. Said, here's that baby that God promised me when you were here last time. Well, it was God who did it. It was God who did it. But that was a word of knowledge, and it was a healing also for her body, where she could have children. And so God will work, and God seems to work more in those areas when we go out, by the way, than he does when we stay in these walls. Honestly, because we're commanded to go. The gifts of the Spirit aren't just for us to wallow in them here. It's to take them out there. And so then we also have gifts of miracles. That's God operating outside his established physical laws of the universe, and there's prophecy. Now, we see prophecy here. We saw prophet in Doma giftings, and we saw prophet in charisma giftings. So which is which? Well, the prophet in charisma giftings is who you are. You're a truth teller. You speak prophetically. You speak the truth. You cannot help but speak the truth. And the Doma gift of prophetic is a recognized, established, Ephesians 4, translocal prophetic ministry that's proven and tested and endorsed by local leaders and translocal leaders. And so we've had a prophetic gifting. Mike Hanchett was here a year ago, and he has an established gift. And Terry and I have been in the presence of guys with established prophetic giftings, and it's amazing when you have somebody prophesy over you who doesn't know you from Adam, and they're just like reading your mail. That's the gift of prophecy operating through a prophetic guy that's equipping the saints for the work of service. And then you have the charisma gift, where we can all speak a prophetic word. Now, prophetic word for manifestation of the Holy Spirit, that prophecy there is not foretelling. It's not telling the future. The New Testament is very clear that the prophetic gift of the manifestation of the Holy Spirit is to bring encouragement and strength and comfort. So if you leave today here, when we gather together, when you leave, you grab a cup of coffee on the way out, you try to stay dry, if you leave encouraged, and if you leave strengthened, and if you leave comforted, then this has been a prophetic service. That's what that's talking about. And then we have discerning of spirits, where you're able to discern whether something is of God or not. We have tongues, where you're speaking a language that you don't know. It could either be a heavenly language or an earthly language. And next week, I'm going to actually talk about the baptism of the Spirit and get into more of this kind of stuff. And I want to lay to rest a lot of controversy, a lot of misunderstanding, and to be able to explain what the Bible says actually about these things. Because a lot of us were brought, I was brought up in a church where you didn't talk about this stuff. You never read that 1 Corinthians 12 passage in church. You just didn't talk about it. It's just like Thomas Jefferson. You know Thomas Jefferson, our second president? His Bible, he would take scissors and he would cut out the stuff he didn't like. of his Bible. And so he'd just read the stuff that he did like. Well, we can't do that. We have to take the whole Bible there. And then you have interpretation of tongues. Now, tongues can be a language that is known. It's a language that's known. For example, Terry and my new friend we met in South Africa in August, Sammy Adeleke, he's the guy from Nigeria who God called to move. He was a pastor. God called him to move to Niger, and he went over there, and he didn't speak the language, was having trouble breaking through the culture, and he had a dream one night, and God said, "Do you really love these people? Do you really want to minister to these people?" And he said, "Yes, I do." And I quizzed him on this because I'm a cynical guy. I know a lot of you guys are cynical out there. Some of you guys will believe everything. Ask God for discernment. You know, filter through some of this stuff. Some of you don't believe anything. Ask God for discernment because some of it is God ordained. And so I went up to Sammy. We spent coffee with him about half an hour, got his whole story. And he's on the same team that Terry and I serve. And he during this dream, God said, "Do you really love these people? Do you really want to minister to them?" He said, "Yes, I do." And he woke up the next morning. He could speak, read, and write the language in Nigeria. And now he's had a ministry there for a couple of years. That is the Holy Spirit doing it. And to say, "Oh, these things died out," you can't tell Sammy that. "Oh, those things died out in the first century." No, God's doing it today. Or my friend Alex, who was a nice guy, but not a Christian. And he had come to the church for a couple of years. And he would always be at the work days. He was generous. He was kind. His wife was a believer, and he wasn't a Christian. He just wasn't going to, you know, do that. And we're at a prayer meeting at our old church, and we're walking around this field praying. There's about 150 of us just walking around praying. We were praying for something. I don't remember exactly what. And right behind Alex was my other friend, Ed. And Ed was one of our home group leaders at our church. And Ed was just worshiping God and speaking in tongues. And some of us freak out when we hear that. Don't freak out if it's of God. So Ed is just worshiping. It was private. It wasn't just like crazy or anything. And all of a sudden, Alex drops to his knees, puts his hands in the air, and just starts weeping and weeping. And we go, "What is with Alex?" And it turns out that Alex, who is Armenian, heard Ed behind him saying, "Jesus Christ is Lord," in perfect Armenian. That's speaking in tongues. That's God using the manifestations of the Holy Spirit to bring people Him. We use our gifts to serve others so that God gets the glory. And then interpretation. If there's a message, then there's a difference from your personal prayer language, speaking in tongues, and a message to the church. Those are two separate things. You could speak in tongues to the church as a message. That must have an interpretation. It's in the scripture. It's very clear. If there's a message to the church, that means everybody hears the same thing. Not just your personal talking with God. There must be an interpretation. These are the gifts, the phanerosis gifts in the Spirit. And we're going to get into a little bit more next week on the baptism of the Holy Spirit and what that means, what that is. But let's take this and apply it. Now, we've looked at an overview today of the charisma gifts, the grace giftings, the doma gifts, which are people gifts, and the phanerosis gifts, which are manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Let's look at the manifestations for a moment. Number one, they don't reflect maturity. If you speak in tongues or interpret, or if you pray for the sick and they're healed, or if you're operating in the gifts of the Spirit, they don't necessarily reflect maturity. You know why? Because the Corinthian church had the gifts of the Spirit all through it. And they were out of order and they were immature. And they were hurting the cause of Christ more than they were helping the cause of Christ. And Paul brought order in by writing them the letter. Among other things, he brought order in 1 Corinthians 13. They were immature and operating in the gifts of the Spirit. That's like giving a 2-year-old a .44 Magnum. Like this. They don't have the maturity to handle it. The Holy Spirit is powerful. It's the dunamis power of the Holy Spirit. And we need to be mature in our using of the gifts of the Spirit and not just wildly shooting stuff out just because we can. All right? Doesn't necessarily. I've seen people that work operate in the gifts of the Spirit that are mature, of course. And I've seen people that don't operate in the gifts of the Spirit that are mature. They just don't understand that there's stuff available for them to operate in the power of the Holy Spirit. Number two, the gifts of the Spirit are not to be ignored. They are to be eagerly desired. 1 Corinthians 14:1, Paul says, follow the way of love. Now, and eagerly desire the spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1, immediately follows 1 Corinthians 13, which is the love chapter. All right? Whenever I say that, I always think of the love book, the love chapter. This is the chapter that you always get at weddings, right? The preacher goes and substitute the word love for your name, and Terry is patient, Terry is kind, you know, she is gracious, all these things. Okay, that's the love chapter. So the love chapter is sandwiched in between 1 Corinthians 12, which describes the gift, and 1 Corinthians 14, which tells you how to use them to the local church. And the centerpiece is love. Everything we do operates out of God's agape love, our love for others and for the church and for the Lord. Yes, don't forget that. Paul starts out chapter 14 and he says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially that you might prophesy. We are not to say, okay, I'm going to love people. I'm just going to love people. No, Paul says, and. God is an and God way more often than he's an or God. God is an and God. You shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. It's not or. Our heart is for all nations, all people groups. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, or your mind. No, and your mind. It's always and. God is an and God. Way more often than he's an or God. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. Number three, they're for the benefit of all. The gifts are for the benefit of all, not just for our own benefit. And simple and clear is best. And we make space for prophetic words. There was a great prophetic word here this morning. That was an example of a prophetic word. Somebody who sharpened their gift, who waited on God, and who actually wrote something out. Many of us this week, we spent time with the Lord and we felt God just, oh, the wonderful presence of God. And then we stopped. Instead of taking it, the next step is actually maybe write out what he's saying. And maybe this isn't just for me, for my own journal, but maybe this is a message to the church, to bring encouragement, to bring strength, to bring comfort. That's what that is. But it's not just in places like this. It could be in your small group. It could be with a group of friends at Starbucks. It could be any number of places when believers gather together to bring encouragement and strength and comfort. It could be when you're walking up to the front door, the prophetic working through you. Number four, the whole body can judge the manifestations. 1 Corinthians 14:24, but if an unbeliever or someone who does not understand comes in while everybody is prophesying, he'll be convinced by all that he is a sinner and will be judged by all. And down in verse 29, two or three prophets should speak and let the other, and then the others should weigh carefully what is said. We all, if you're a believer, if you have the Spirit of God in you, you are a discerner of what is right and what is not right. As far as things being spoken, a message to your small group or to the church. If somebody gets up here and the Word of God is in you and the Spirit of God is in you and they say something that contradicts those, everybody's antenna go like this. That is not right. That's not right. And so we all judge those things. And so thankfully, 99 times out of 100, what's said is what God wants to speak to at least some people in the church. So here's the thing that I think is interesting in closing here. The Father gives charisma gifts to his children. Your daddy gives you good gifts. That's your grace gifting. That's what you're good at. That's what energizes you. And honestly, get into and do what energizes you in the kingdom. Use your gift. Use your gift. If God's given you a gift of business, use it for his glory, not just to serve yourself and build your own kingdom. Whatever gift he's given you, use it to serve others so he gets the glory. That's the Father giving each one of us gifts. Each one of us has those. And the Son, Jesus, gives gifts, people gifts, to his bride. The church is Jesus' bride. And it says Jesus gave the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. Jesus gave good gifts, doma gifts, to his bride. And the Spirit gives good gifts. That's the manifestations. That's the phanerosis gifts. The Spirit gives those gifts to his co-laborers because we are working alongside the Holy Spirit in this world, in our sphere of influence. It's not what, God, what is your will for my life? That's a good question to ask. I'll tell you what a better question to ask is, God, what is your will? And how does my life fit into that? In other words, I'm conforming my will to his, not asking him to conform his will and endorse mine. It's backwards. God, what is your will? And how does my life fit into that? And God's given us good gifts to accomplish his purposes.